Paul says to the Thessalonians, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so that's the way we came to you. Here today, to the Corinthians, he speaks of being a spiritual father. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. And we're going verse by verse or chapter by chapter through books in the Bible. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to wrap up that chapter today. We will be in verse 14 through 21, talking about spiritual fathers. Paul says, you have not many fathers. Let's begin here in verse 14. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Let me stop there for just a moment. Let's tie this back into his earlier portion in this chapter where he is speaking to them almost sarcastically in the sense that he says, I wish you did reign. You remember he said, you are rich. You have need of nothing. And he says, I wish that was so. And he's saying from their perspective, from their understanding of worldly wisdom, even as Christians, they thought they had it together. They were not discerning spiritual authority in their life. And so he comes back here to say to them, I'm not writing this to you to shame you, even though it may seem a little bit tough, but as a beloved children, so he's acting as a father, I'm warning you, children that I love. Now let's go into verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Let's take a look at this idea of spiritual fathers. There's a lot being said right now in the body of Christ concerning spiritual fathers, and I think there's some real value that we need to look at and probably even bring some cautions here. Notice he says you have 10,000, or he's exaggerating, saying many instructors. That would be someone who would be a guide. In other words, they would help a child like a guardian would go from here or there to the school or somewhere else, wherever they had to go. But as a father, the father would be responsible, caring, and loving. Not as a child would be directed and told what to do. That's not what Paul is saying. But he said, I'm caring for you. I'm warning you. Now you're going to see, not only in 1 Corinthians, but if we were to look over into 2 Corinthians, Paul would allow those who resisted his spiritual authority to do so. He did not control anything. He would plead with them. At times he would say, though I have the authority to command you, I'm pleading with you. Because that's what spiritual authority does. Spiritual authority does not control, does not manipulate, does not coerce. What does that sound like? Well, if you really love Jesus, you would listen to what I'm saying. No, that's manipulation. True spiritual authority trusts God in you and trusts God to deal with you, but will admonish, will confront, will warn, but eventually allow God to do that work in your life. Now, what makes him a spiritual father is that he's labored Christ among them. In fact, he said here, I've begotten you in the gospel. Now, later on, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he spends a lot of time there talking about his apostolic authority or his spiritual authority because they were being rejected and were accepting false apostles. And he says there in chapter 10, you might be familiar with that verse of scripture where he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Now that's true for all of us as believers because that's Christ's authority. But in that context, he's speaking of his apostolic authority where he would preach out from underneath them the false doctrines. Because later on in chapter 11, in 2 Corinthians, he actually, one translation says, I'm going to keep preaching their knees out from underneath them, talking about the false apostles. He would use the truth and bring in captivity every false idea that opposes itself against God. And in that same chapter in 2 Corinthians, around verse 14, he speaks of the authority that was given to him was not him exerting or asserting himself or reaching beyond a measure. That measure, that metron, was given to him by God as he labored among them, labored Christ among them, and preached the gospel. For it says in verse 14, "For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." So he tells them that later in 2 Corinthians. So here in this 1 Corinthians, here in chapter 4, he's saying, "I am as a spiritual father to you." And he says, "I urge you to imitate me." Now that might be something seems a little strange to us to tell somebody else, "Do what I do." But he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now many of these believers may not even have been able to read and write. They needed to see the gospel. Well, people may read and write around you, but they still need to see the gospel. And he was willing to present himself accountable before them, that you imitate me, you follow after me. And then he says, "I sent you Timothy, who is as a spiritual son to me." I love this passage. He said, verse 17, "For this reason I have sent you Timothy, I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved, faithful son in the Lord." Now, at one point he says he is as a son and he is as a father, but here he says directly he's a faithful son. Now, you're going to see in the scriptures, Paul does not identify a lot of people as sons. He just doesn't do that. Now, I'm sure there were many. He was a father to the Corinthian church. So he's talking to the church collectively because he helped birth the gospel there. He labored among them, so he would have been a father in the faith to them. Now, there's not just one father. There are other fathers, but there's not many because of that particular preference. Now, as we encourage spiritual fatherhood, I want to give some cautions to that because it can be easy in our culture to lay claim to someone or to bring somebody under our influence inappropriately when we really have not taken the time to labor Christ among them. In other words, we really haven't been there to give of ourselves, because a true spiritual father does that. A true spiritual father takes time. It's not done quickly. It's not, you don't walk up to someone and say, "Hey, I'm your spiritual father," or lay claim to someone saying, "Hey, you're my spiritual son." And I know that's easy to do. I would rather walk out life, pour myself into people, and if they see me, "Hey, Glenn, you have served as a spiritual father to me," then I can really see that. Or they have served as a true spiritual son. So it's not some kind of ownership. It's God's heart. We got to remember, God is the Father. And Paul says, "I'm coming as a father's heart to you in the likeness of that." But we have to be careful not to use the words father and son too quickly or lay claim carelessly, because that's what would happen. That keeps us staying within our measure. Have I really labored Christ with that person? Have I walked with them? Now, I may be as a spiritual father. God gives many in the body of Christ as spiritual fathers among us, mothers and fathers that we look to. But here, Paul with Timothy says, "He is my spiritual son. He is my son in the Lord, son in the faith." He uses that term. So in the process, we need to remember that this is a grace that God gives as we labor together. This is not kings and servants, as I'm concerned that many people would see. And I've heard people in the body of Christ today say, "Oh, I heard one guy say I had 750 spiritual sons." I thought, "Oh my, Lord help us." That's a king with servants. They had protocol. They couldn't even come in and see him unless they went through certain protocol. Thought, "Oh God, that's so fleshly. Help us, Lord." That's not a father. A father's humble. A father makes himself available. A father pours himself into others and cares and promotes them and sponsors them and sees them come up in the Lord. That's why you really can't have very many spiritual sons, because you got to give yourself to them to see them sponsored. It's not about the father, it's about the father laying up for the children. Paul says that the children don't lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. In other words, they're willing to spend and be spent for them. So in this context, Paul is saying, don't forget, I'm really as a spiritual father to you. I beget the gospel in you. I came there, so I have a place to speak. Now, that doesn't mean he had a place to control their life or to manipulate them, but there was a spiritual place that Christ had given because he had discipled and birthed them in the gospel. Now, let's keep reading here in verse 18 through 21, because he deals with them concerning them being puffed up. He says, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, this verse of scripture means a lot to me, because what he's saying is that some were acting a certain way because he presently was not there, and they thought he was not coming. Now, Paul was not going to come in there in some kind of rage and straighten them out and command them to do something. That's not how spiritual authority works. True spiritual authority just shows up. And if God uses his authority, because all authority is delegated authority. Nobody has authority. The moment I think I have authority, man, I'm in the flesh just like that. The moment I think I have authority, then I'm going to demand something. But if I know I have delegated authority, the only authority I have is God has given. Same way with you. You have no authority unless you've had it delegated to you from Christ himself. So therefore, you can't exert it. You can't bring people under the control and the power. You just serve out of your gift and who you are. If people see it, they see it. If they don't, that's left up to God. And so he's saying here, some of you are puffed up. Some of you act as though I'm not coming. He said, but I am going to come real soon if the Lord wills. Because he knows the grace of God is within him. And then he goes on to say, listen, he says, the kingdom of God, the spiritual authority, is not about how you talk, but it's in the power. It's in the dunamis. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the character of Christ. It's in the anointing of God. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit present. God will deal with you as he sees fit. And so he says, some of you think I'm not coming, but I'm coming. And then he says something. What do you want? How do you want me to come? Do you want me to come with a rod? Or do you want me to come in love and gentle? Can I propose something to you? I don't believe Paul is saying here, do you want me to act in a certain way? Do you want me to come with a rod of harshness, or do you want me to come gentle? Now, obviously, that's how he presents it. But because of the previous verses, I believe he's saying, I'm just going to show up. If you're in rebellion, and then you're going to see my authority as a rod. You're going to see it as that. If you are in tenderness, if you are in response and sees the spiritual authority, then you're going to see me as love and tender. So I don't believe he's going to act differently. He's just going to be himself. And so when he shows up, then how does it affect those who are around him? Well, it has to do, of course, with the presence of Christ in him and their response to that spiritual authority. I love this. Thank you for following us today in the Word.